Well, good morning again.
Good morning.
We are glad you're here and hope that you came expecting something from God today. The Bible says God's word never returns void. And so we believe that and we trust that. If you will, if you'll turn to John 17, I'm just going to recap just a little bit from last week. Many of you may not have been here, but the message is called One. One. And last week I asked, what do you think about when you hear the word one as it relates to God, to the church, and to you? And, one of the things I mentioned is it's easy to think about, well, he just wants us to be one together and build a little fire and sit around and hold hands and sing kumbaya. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. This passage in John 17 is a prayer. Jesus is praying. And he says in verse 20, I do not pray for those alone, speaking of just his disciples, because he'd previously to this, he'd prayed for his disciples. But he says, I pray for those who will believe in me through their word, future believers. Jesus was praying at that moment for us, for each one of us today, and all the people around the world, that they may be one. All believers is who he's praying for, that they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be one in us, and that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, and I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one, just as God and Jesus is one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Jesus was praying. He'd already prayed for his disciples. He was praying for all those who would believe in him as a result of the preaching of the word by his disciples and other believers. Believers from that point on to eternity. And he was praying that they'd be one. And there was a reason he was doing that, because he knew how difficult it would be for the church to be one. And so, last week we talked about being one, what one meant. One faith. One purpose. One God. And so today I want us to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And we're just going to continue that on, because Paul expounds on that a little more here in Ephesians in a little bit different way, but in somewhat the same context. Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 1. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, hearing, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Over and over, back in John 17 and here in Ephesians, we hear the word one, one, one. He's speaking about oneness. And so let's just look at verse 1. He says, I therefore, Paul speaking, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. He means, I exhort you. I urge you. This is an urgent appeal by Paul to the church. This is not written to people outside the church. It's to the church. He says, I beseech you. I urge you. I exhort you. I encourage you. I appeal to you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. The word walk there is in the context of live. I urge you to live worthy of that calling. Paul's saying, live worthy of the calling to which you were called. So, how are we supposed to live? Well, he finishes it there in that verse saying, in the next verse, but before we get to that, what is the calling? What is the calling? The calling is to worship for Christians, for the believers, to worship and to serve God. So Paul's saying, live your life, walk, I urge you to walk, to live worthy of your calling. And your calling is to worship and to serve God. To worship Him, not just here on Sunday. Because remember, he says, walk worthy, live worthy. We don't just live on Sunday and you're dead the rest of the week, right? No, we live Monday through Saturday too. And Paul's saying, live that way too. Worship Monday through Saturday as well as not just on Sunday. Serve Him, not just on Sunday. Serve Him every day of your life. Live according to your calling. Worshiping and serving God is the calling. How do we do that? How are we supposed to live as Christians, as believers? How are we supposed to live? Look at verse 2. With all lowliness. Lowliness means humble. It means humble. With all lowliness and gentleness. With longsuffering. That means patience. So he's saying, with humbleness, gentleness, and with patience, he goes on to say, bearing with one another in love. Bearing one another with love. Now, some people would look at that and say, well, that means tolerate them. I'll just tolerate them. Well, you know what tolerate means? You grit your teeth when you have to be around them, and then the rest of the time you ignore them or avoid them. That's what tolerating means. You're just allowing them to be in the same room with you. That's not what he's talking about when he says bearing with one another. What's it say? Bearing with one another in what? Love. The only way to do that is what we read back in John, where Jesus prayed, I pray that they will love as you have loved me. Have the same love that you've had for me, your son Jesus. I pray that they would have that same love. And you see, that's the only way to bear with one another. Is with the love of God. It's the only way to do it. Bearing with one another in love. If you do not have God's love in your heart, it's going to be tough to bear with one another. Amen? Amen. I mean, it can be tough to bear with one another with God's love, right? Well, some of you are honest. Here's what it's about. He says, I urge you to walk or to live worthy of your calling. The calling, which is worshiping and serving God, bearing with one another. You see, it's all about the gospel. Paul is saying there is about the gospel. He's asking us to do this. He's urging us to do this for the sake of the gospel. And you say, well, Pastor, what's the gospel? Well, the gospel is this. Humanity was full of sin, hopeless, headed to hell. And so God said, I can fix that. I'll give my son up as one final sacrifice to give them the ability to overcome sin through his blood. And then the destination no longer has to be hell. The destination can be heaven. Jesus, born of a virgin, crucified on a cross, dead, buried, resurrected by the Spirit of God, and sitting at His right hand today. That's the gospel for us, for the forgiveness of sins, for us who receive Him, for any who receive Him. That's the gospel. And that's That's the sake of the gospel. But here's the key to the gospel, and you might want to write this down. In order to walk worthy of your calling and to even have that calling, as far as the gospel is concerned, here's what you got to do. You need to receive it. You need to live it. And then you have to give it. Receive it. Receive what Jesus did for you on the cross. And then live it. Live it out in your life. Doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. But you'll be a lot better off than you were before without Him. Receive what Jesus did for you. Receive the gospel. Live the gospel. Live it out with your life. Worthy of your calling. And then give it. Give it away. And you see, you can't give something if you're not living it. You can't give it if you're not living it. You can't lead someone to a place you've never been. If you've never been humbled before Jesus, you can't lead somebody else to Him. Receive it, live it, and give it. Last week we talked about one faith, one purpose, one spirit. Look at verse 3. Endeavoring, bearing with one another. See, He's telling us how to do this in love. Endeavoring. Everybody know what endeavor means? It means making the effort. It means making the effort, doing it. Endeavoring, purposing. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Unity of the Spirit. You know, that's not something man can create. It's already here. The Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, has already created it. He is a spirit of unity. And He's created that. But He says here, our endeavor is to keep the unity that God, that Jesus brought to His church through the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes, there is unity because He is the Spirit of unity. So it's not something we can create. We cannot create unity. Do you understand that? But our responsibility, according to Paul, is to endeavor to keep that unity. We can't create it, but I can tell you what, the church is good at breaking it and destroying it. And so Paul's saying, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit, the unity that the Spirit has brought to the church. He says there is one body, verse 4. One body, the body of Christ. One Spirit, Holy Spirit. Just as you were called to worship and serve God in one hope of your calling. What's he saying there? One hope. One hope of your calling. Again, it's about the gospel. Our calling is to worship and serve Him because that's who our hope is in. Our hope is in God. And I hope you know that today. Our only hope is in God. Amen. And so He is saying, one body, the body of Christ, the church that Christ created, one Spirit, God's Spirit, Holy Spirit, sent to the church to equip, to empower, to teach, to keep unified, one Spirit, in the bond of peace. The bond of peace. Bond means to bring together. Bond means to connect and meld together. The bond of peace. See, that's what the Spirit of Christ does. The Holy Spirit is the bond of peace. The Holy Spirit comes to bond us in peace. To bond the believer to Christ and to God in peace. And with His peace. The Bible calls it the peace that passes understanding. It's beyond our comprehension. Let me share something with you. You don't have to go there because it's not going to be on the screen. But in Colossians, he says, but above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. See, Paul was encouraging that. He was encouraging the bond of peace. The bond of peace. He says there's one body, one spirit, just as you were called to one hope. And then in verse 5, he says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Lord. Do you know there can only be one Lord in your life? That's a truth and a reality from God's Word. You can't serve two masters. The Bible says you'll love one and hate the other. And so what so often Christians do is they try to serve two lords. And it doesn't work. They try to hang on to the Lord of the world and yet try to serve the one true Lord. And all it does is make a mess in your life. It makes you weak and ineffective as a believer. He says there's one God, one Lord, one faith, faith in Jesus Christ as Lord, one baptism, the baptism that He brings, and in verse 6, one God and Father of all. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. See, when you receive Christ, He comes to dwell in you through His Spirit. The Spirit of Christ comes to dwell in you. One Spirit, one God, one Father of all, who is over all. God is over the church. God is the Father of the church. Romans 11:36, if you want to turn back there real quickly. I think it's important that he expounds on this in Romans, in this verse in 11:36. And he says this. For of him, and through him, and to him, are what things? What are all things? Okay, give me an example. What are all things? Okay, give me an example of creation. Trees, sun. What else? What about people? People. You see, for of him, of God, and through him, by his creation, and to him, worship and service are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Of God, through God, and to God. That's one, because he's the one true God. Amen. I want you to look at something on Philippians. Just flip over to the right if you're in your Bibles. Philippians 1:27. He's going to reinforce what he's talking about in verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 4. And he says in Philippians 1:27, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. See, over in Ephesians, he's telling us to walk, to live worthy. And right over here in Philippians, it's reemphasized, let your conduct be worthy of the gospel. So what God is saying there is, what Paul is saying there is, listen, Jesus died for you. Jesus died a horrible death for you, so you could live a fulfilling life. And so what he's saying is, let your conduct, let your life, let the way you live be worthy of what Jesus did for you. And see, we forget that as the church. as people, as believers, we forget what he really did and what he went through for us. And so what we see is we're not really spend a lot of time believers living or their conduct being worthy of what he did. You see, he did it because we weren't worthy, to make us worthy. And we're worthy because of what he did. And so Paul's saying, walk that way, live that way, conduct yourself that way. Because he's made you worthy, walk in it. Live in it. Do it. Do it. So, back in Ephesians, one body, one spirit, one Lord, one faith. So he says, walk or live worthy of the calling. You know, what does that look like? Now, let's break it down here. What does that look like in everyday life? I mean, what does it look like in the church? Let's just bring it to here. What does it look like in the church? I want to just share a couple of things. I believe what he's talking about is in this oneness. First of all, one commitment. If you take a note, you can write it down. I believe he's talking about one commitment. Being committed the same way Jesus was committed. I in you, Father, you in me, and I in them. Jesus saying, I in them. Jesus in us. One commitment. One commitment to what? To the calling. To worshiping and serve him. Well, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, here's what I mean. Do you only show up to church on the Sunday that you're serving in kids or greeting or ushering? Yeah, in case you didn't know, I'm going to step on a few toes now, probably. Do you have that one commitment to his church? It's not our church, it's his. Amen. Or do you just show up and say, well, I serve, I usher, I greet, I work with kids, I do the cafe. Okay, when? Are you in church on other Sundays? Or do you just show up on the Sunday you've got an obligation? See, that says something about your commitment. Or maybe you're not necessarily serving anywhere. That's okay. So do you just show up when it's convenient? The one Sunday that is convenient out of the month when you don't have anything else to do? And I'm not talking about those that have jobs on Sunday where they have to go to work and make a living. That's not who I'm talking to. I'm talking to the general congregation. One commitment. The other thing is, I want us to, how we apply this. I think this is how we apply what Paul's saying. Being one is having one commitment. That one commitment, you see, you don't commit to be here to the pastors or the worship team. You're committing to be here to him, one God. One Spirit, one Lord. That's why you should commit to be here. Okay, let's get out of the commitment. Let's talk about one attitude. How about one attitude? Do you have one attitude? Do you have that one attitude? Or, well, what do you mean? Well, I mean, when you show up, let's say you're volunteering, right? In kids' church. Is your attitude such you go in and is... You complain about the size of the room, or you complain about the chairs, or you complain about something else? Are you there for one attitude of Christ, that you're serving him? What about if you drive up out here and if you have one attitude and people are trying to park you and you don't like where they park you? Is that a problem? You see, one attitude is a way to apply this too. Or maybe the coffee's too strong. Or the donuts are stale. Or there's not enough donuts. One commitment, one attitude, one. Jesus said one. One. Or I don't like the music. I wish they'd play all Southern gospel. Or I wish they'd do a little more cutting edge hard rock. See, think about your attitude. Because what is it about? It goes back, it's about the gospel. It's about the gospel. Okay, I beat on you enough today. What about tomorrow? What about tomorrow? Do you have one attitude when you go to work? Do you give your employer what he's hired you to do? A full effort? A full day for the hours you're required to do? You see, the Bible says, don't work. When you work, don't work as if you're working for man. Work as if you're working for him. See, that changes the attitude, doesn't it? That's the one attitude we're supposed to have. That's the one commitment we're supposed to have. Not just here. Because he says, live worthy of the calling. Not just on Sunday. Live Monday through Saturday as well. Amen. Live. Apply it to our whole life. Worship team, would you come up? It's all about the gospel. But the gospel, you have to do something with the gospel. You have to do something with the gospel. You have to receive it. You have to live it. And then you can give it. Because that's why you are saved. You're saved to worship and serve God, to fellowship with Him, because He wants to fellowship with us. But you're also saved just as you've been reconciled with Christ, the Bible says, then you, therefore, have the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, it's our job, our responsibility, to help reconcile others with Christ. In other words, bring them to Christ. Get them right with God. Let's pray together. As we close, I want to share this scripture with you. And I want you to think about this scripture today. It says, therefore, He, God is able, Jesus is able, once and forever, to save those who come to God through Him. Jesus, the Bible says, therefore, He, Jesus, is able, once and forever, to save those who come to God through Him. So it's very clear, the only way to God is through Jesus. No Jesus, no God. It goes on to say, He lives, Jesus lives forever, to intercede with God on their behalf. Jesus, right now, sits at the right hand of God, interceding for us. Interceding for believers, that they might stay strong in the faith. And I believe He's also interceding for those who have yet to come to God through Him. Interceding. The Bible's clear. The only way to God, which means heaven, is through Jesus. So my question for you today is, have you been reconciled with Christ? Have you given your life to Him in faith, received Him as Savior? See, there's a lot of lords out there in the world, but there's really only one Lord, one true Lord, and His name is Jesus. And Jesus is the only way to heaven, to God. And so I ask you again today, have you come to Jesus so you can get to God? If you haven't, the opportunity is here. That's part of our calling. That's part of my calling, is to urge you, just like Paul was urging in the Ephesian church, I urge you to come to Christ, to give up yourself, quit trying to do life your way, and just say, okay, God, take over. Jesus, take over my life. Don't understand all that means, but I know I don't want to go to hell. I know my life is not something I can handle by myself, and I need a Savior, and I need forgiveness. And so I realize I need Jesus. If that's you this morning, would you just slip your hand up as people are praying? If you need Jesus this morning, all I want to do is pray with you. Just raise your hand. You see that? Anyone else? I see your hand. I need Jesus this morning. I need to be saved. Anyone else? Okay. Anyone else? Several. Several have raised their hand. As people are praying, those that raised your hand, I just want you to look up here at me. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so I just want to lead you through a prayer of confession this morning. And listen, it won't mean a thing. Just pray in the words. You got to pray them with your heart. Confess with your mouth. But the Bible says it's with your heart that you believe. See, what we truly believe is in our heart. So pray this prayer with me. Those that raised your hands, looking up here at me. Dear Lord, I believe Jesus died for my sins. I believe God raised him from the dead so my sins could be forgiven. I trust him today, right now, right here. I give my life to him. I confess him as Lord. I believe in my heart God raised him from the dead, and I receive his forgiveness right now. In Jesus' name. Now, if you prayed that prayer and you prayed it with your heart based on God's word, you just became a Christian. And so I encourage you to begin to get into God's word and learn what that means and learn how to start living as a Christian. And it doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. It doesn't mean you're not going to have problems. But it means that God will always be there. And that bond of peace the Bible talks about, you can always have because Christ is in you. So I want to encourage you today. And I also want to warn you, the devil's going to come to you and say, you didn't mean that prayer. As soon as you make a little mistake, say a curse word or get mad at somebody, the devil's going to say, see, you didn't mean that. So listen to me this morning. The devil is a liar. Don't believe it. You believe what God's word says. Believe truth. That if you confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart, you are saved. And when the devil whispers to you, you speak the name of Jesus. And all you got to do is when he starts whispering lies, you say, hey, I got Jesus. Be gone. And he will flee from you. Father, I thank you today for your word that gives us life, your word that teaches us life, teaches us to live worthy of our calling. I thank you, God, that as the song we sang earlier, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is Jesus, worthy is your Son. And I thank you, Lord, for sending him and giving him up for us so that we could have life and have it abundantly and live a real life. Live a life of peace and contentment in him and with him. So, Father, I pray for all those that made decisions this morning. I pray that you would encourage them by your Spirit, even now, in the hours and the days ahead. Encourage them, reaffirm them by your Spirit. And Father, we praise you today. We thank you for all your blessings in Jesus' strong and mighty name. Amen. If you made a decision this morning, those that made decisions this morning, I just want to encourage you to take that connection point on your bulletin, fill it out, and just check I accepted Christ, and just fold it and drop it in the offering bag when it comes by, because I want to just send you some information about walking with God and getting your journey started with him, and just encourage you and be able to pray for you. And so please fill that out. And check that on the back of that connection point so we can know that and just affirm you in your decision for Christ today. Ushers, if you'll kind of make your way to the front, please. And Heart Cry family and friends, it's offering time.